This is TWiT.
We have some really special guests tonight, and I thank Tim Duffy for putting this together. Tim, we're going to take this out to Pennsylvania and let you tell us all about who your guest is and what is going on at that big contest station. And I bet you had some fun on field day. K3LR from K9EID.
Hello, Bob. It's great to be here again on Ham Nation, and we're really happy to be part of the session here tonight. And I've got a special guest, Joe Rudy, NK7U, who is he's got quite a station out in Baker City, Oregon, and 2,200 miles away from where we are now. But before Joe got into building big-time radio stations, you had a big-time Major League Baseball career.
I was very fortunate. Grew up in a small town, started playing baseball, and by the time I was 10, 11 years old, I was playing in Little League, Babe Ruth, American Legion, and just got to play a lot of baseball in Central California. And got through high school, got signed by the old Kansas City A's. So you got to be old enough to remember that the Oakland A's used to be in Kansas City. My first year was in 1967 in Kansas City A's. And then in 68, we moved to Oakland. A bunch of young kids. I think our average on the field age when we moved to Oakland was 22, with Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Raleigh Fingers, all the guys that came along during that age, and sort of grew up together and got a pretty good ball club there in the 70s. Won three straight World Series and pretty elite company. Yankees are the us and the Yankees are the only teams that ever won three in a row.
So when you were out on the road and playing baseball, did you ever take a radio along and have some fun?
I've been known to do that, yeah. No, I started back in I would say 68, 69, started carrying the radio with me. Not 78, 79, because I got my license in 74, 75. Got an old Atlas 210X, had a nice little small power supply, and started carrying back then. The hotel windows you could open, and fishing pole and drop a line out the window with a tuner, and worked a lot of stations. Later on, I had to go to back-to-back Hustler verticals, put in into a dipole mode up against the windows because you couldn't open them anymore. But I always asked for the highest floor I could get on the north side of the hotel. And I was trying to work 100 countries before I retired. I think I got 88 confirmed before I retired.
So that's 88 countries confirmed from the hotel.
Room with 100 watts. That was a tough duty.
So you really don't need much of an antenna to have a good time in this hobby.
No, just button the chair. That's the whole key, is being there and being listening. And of course, I come back after ball game. Most of the guys go down and have dinner or in the bar and have a few drinks, and I couldn't wait to get back up my room and fire up the radio and see who I could hear. And of course, being on the East Coast, a lot of the teams back there are I was fortunate enough to, you know, be able to get into Europe and those places from back there. But it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. And I think my wife enjoyed knowing that I wasn't down on the bar drinking.
Well, she knew where to find you. And that was upstairs in the room with a pair of headphones on and a key or a mic and work in 88 countries that you got confirmed. Now, next week, you're going to be up in the Boston area with us. And I'll be up there as well for the World Radio Team Championship 2014. And you're hosting a tour at a very famous baseball venue. Tell us about that.
I get to go to my favorite ballpark, and I haven't been back there for years. Unfortunately, I got to play there 1 year, and 1981, it was a strike year. It was a little shorter year, but Fenway Park in Boston, my favorite ballpark. And we're going to take a group up there. I'm not sure we're going to have 20 people. I think we got at least 20 signed up already, maybe 50 or more. But we're going to do a full tour of the ballpark, get to go in the Hall of Fame up on the monster up there. They put chairs up there, which is really neat. I haven't seen it since they remodeled the ballpark. So it's going to be a great tour, and get to go in the duck boats and go down the Charles River and drive around Boston a little bit just before we get to the ballpark. So it's going to be a great day.
So there's hams from over 30 countries that are coming to WRTC 2014. And, of course, I'm going to be up there next week on Ham Nation. We're going to interview some of the folks that are organizing this event. And WRTC hasn't been here since 1996. But you come along and you're hosting this VIP tour of one of the most famous ballparks that we have here in the United States and getting to show it off to a lot of DX hams. That's pretty cool.
It really is. Like I said, it's such a special ballpark, and all the players love going to Boston. Very knowledgeable fans there, and we get to go down on the field behind home plate. I think everybody will enjoy looking out there at the monster and getting a perspective of what the stadium looks like from down on the ground level. And then we're going to be up in the seats up there on the monster, I believe, during batting practice, which is a good shot of getting a few shots. The guys hit a lot of balls up there during batting practice. So just going to be an exciting day. I can't wait to show, sort of show it off to everybody.
How far is it from home plate to the top of the monster?
Oh, boy. I think the wall itself is like 300 feet down the line. So it's probably you got to hit the ball probably 350 feet to get it up over the top there. So you got to get it high in the air. Let's put it that way.
Now, you've hit some home runs in this ballpark, right?
Yeah, I had my best career average in Fenway Park. I love hitting there. And, of course, my favorite part of center field is only 380 feet to center field. So it was just a chip shot if you get up in the air and blowing out towards center.
Well, it's incredible, to tie the two great loves that you have, baseball and radio, together like this. And for the World Radio Team Championship, for you to do that, and I know they're very thankful that you're participating and will be part of the event. What do you think about this, Bob?
Well, I think we need to charter a plane. Put a whole bunch of people in it and head up there. That would be really great. What a time. Thank you for doing that for all the ham radio friends. And there'll be a lot of people there, I'm sure. I know that you're going to have a lot of fun, and you're going to be worth a lot to the U.S. team at WRTC also. And I sure wish that we could be there. And Joe, tell us a little bit about your amateur radio side. Like, you're really into major contesting in CW. You kind of traded your baseball glove for a key, didn't you?
I really did. I was very fortunate that, I started out playing with radios. Tim and I were sort of comparing notes when we were kids of, building crystal radio sets and listening on the radios at night to see how far away we could hear stations coming in at night. My grandma's old round top radio back probably in the early 50s. And I was fortunate enough to move up next to some hams that in Danville, near outside Oakland, where we lived there, and they all helped me get my ham license and started carrying on the road. Like I said, I just sort of kept my interest kept increasing every year. And when I left the A's to go down to the Angels in between 76 and 77, we went up to Oregon and bought a ranch up there. And fortunately, I had plenty of room to build towers and started adding towers there and got interested in contesting. And it's been great, especially for me getting out of baseball. A lot of guys have a very hard time changing from being a ball player to a normal lifestyle, I guess you would call it, being home all the time. And ham radio has just been a godsend for me because it just gave me something to look forward to. A lot like baseball, going, you're planning ahead, trying to think about what you're going to, do to get ready for the next contest. How can I improve my station? And then I've always worked multi-op almost always in trying to get all the guys in there and planning our strategy and getting all ready for the contest. And it's just been a lot of fun. It's hard to explain for people that haven't really done it consistently, but it gets better every year.
Well, it's part of that whole thing where you were competitive in your baseball career, very competitive, and that gene is still within you, and amateur radio is a way to continue that, and I really understand what that's all about. How old were you when you got your first license?
Boy, I think it was in my late 20s. I'm trying to remember. It had to be early in 1975, I believe, was when I got my license. It's almost 40 years ago. It's hard to remember anymore. But probably in my late 20s, I believe, when I got my first license and got my novice license and just worked my way up to extra. And in the beginning, I didn't really have time to get too much into CW. The older I've gotten, the more and more I've become a CW op. And I just enjoy it a lot more. It's a little more of a challenge, and you can sure work a lot more people on CW than the voice. It goes a lot further, and it's just, I guess it's one of those things that sort of grows on you as you get older.
You like 160 meters. You like the top band close to the AM broadcast band, too.
Yeah, that is my favorite band. I most of the time during the contest, I always take the night shift, so I'm either on 80 or 160 if I can get it. Depends on who's there. And, you know, I try to let the guys have their choice of the bands. And most of the time, they like to sleep, and I like to stay up all night and operate. So it's my wife is very forgiving and allows me to sleep during the daytime so I can be on at night. But 160 is a really great band. It's very challenging.
That's great. Well, the thing about that, and you mentioned it, Joe, is many of us have our wonderful partners and wives to thank for allowing us to have all of this fun. But we have to release the energy somehow, and you certainly have found the way to go from your one career to another, and I applaud you for all that you do in amateur radio, and thank you so much for taking the time tonight. And I guess we thank your wife for you guys stopping by with that great contest station there in Pennsylvania. So be careful. You know, you always want to make sure that you don't go there in the daytime because Tim likes to have you go out and climb one of his 200-foot towers and tune an antenna. But I guess you don't have to do that this time, right?
Yeah, we had some very good weather out here tonight, and so we got to walk around and it was all Joe could do to stay away from climbing up the 40-meter tower to give it an inspection.
Drooling a lot, Bob.
But we're sure thankful to have Joe and Joe's wife Sharon here this evening. And they're going to celebrate being married 50 years here very shortly. So
it's
incredible life to have four grown kids that have turned out all great. A super career and the best hobby in the world, amateur radio.
It is a great hobby. Like I said, it's been just, I met so many great people. I mean, it's amazing the cross section of people that are involved in ham radio, and you just never know who you're going to run into. And that's excitement to turn on the radio. That's a great thing about ham radio. I still, after 40 years of being a ham, I turn on that radio and just, you almost feel the hair going up on the back of your neck, just tuning around and seeing who's on there tonight and where is it going. It's a great hobby.